Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, teaching, learning, leading.
In 1831, slaves in Southampton County tried to win their freedom in a rebellion led by fellow slave Nat Turner. The violent revolt was put down after 2 days, but as we hear from David Poole with the Virginia Public Access Project, Turner's rebellion sparked a debate about slavery in Virginia.
This story is by Greg Schneider, a reporter with the Washington Post, and they look back at the Nat Turner revolt. So one of the things that that came out of that was surprising. There were hundreds of petitions sent to the General Assembly asking for an end to slavery.
David, Virginians expressed many different reasons for wanting slavery abolished. Some of them were clearly reactions to the deaths of more than 50 white people in the rebellion.
Many of these petitions were not, let's just free the slaves and give them land and live with them as our neighbors and brothers. Many of them were, let's end slavery and move them out of the state. One proposal was to put a tax on every white person and use the proceeds to move 6,000 free and formerly enslaved black people from Virginia every year. And over time, there wouldn't be a single black person in Virginia.
There were enough people saying enough things that they drew some attention from the General Assembly.
There were calls in the legislature to end slavery, but that was not the case. The calls for freedom, end of slavery, did not carry the day. And if the consensus in the General Assembly, which was dominated at the time by slave owners in eastern Virginia, that slavery was not evil, but actually a positive good. And so they followed up with, of course, harsh restrictions on people of color. They made it illegal to preach, gathering to worship, and learning to read.
There was also a suggestion that the state keep slavery, but expel free black people so they wouldn't stir up the enslaved population. The other thing the General Assembly did do was pass a resolution saying that while there were some evils associated with slavery, it would not be expedient for the government to act against it. Now a story about what can happen when a county decides it has billboards that are too numerous and in some cases too ugly. There's more to it than just passing an ordinance.
Yeah, this story is by Jim McConnell, a reporter with the Chesterfield Observer. About the efforts by the county to take care of a number of billboards that were described by county officials as, quote, rotting in place. But these are billboards that, under state law, the county has no control over these billboards. So in order to take any action and to get rid of the ones that are don't meet modern standards, they're kind of falling apart, they had to work with the billboard companies.
So they started negotiating, and the story says they negotiated for 8 months. David, what did they finally decide to do?
The companies will be allowed to replace these older signs with new electronic message signs and put them in along the state's busiest roadways. Some of these signs are kind of off the beaten track, roads that might have been carried a lot of traffic in the 50s or 60s. There's some critics who think the county did not really drive a hard enough bargain.
It is not, though, entirely clear what other leverage a Virginia county has in a case like this. David Poole is with the Virginia Public Access Project. I'm Fred Eccles.